county a word to do. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, the first section, the first book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, Purpose and Theme. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Shall we just pray for the word? Father, we know so often there are passages of scripture that we know inside out and can recite by heart. But there are other times, Lord, when scripture doesn't seem to come so easily. It may not be something that we read so often, but all your word is God-breathed. And we thank you for it, Lord, and especially for this book of Proverbs and the sayings that are within it. And Father, it seems appropriate to do this at the time of the new year, in searching your heart for our lives, for our church, that we can learn things from these words within this book over the weeks to come that will take us forward, that will teach us truths and ways of being that help us in our own lives to live lives for you, but also in our church and with that outward focus to the world around us. And so as we come before you now, Lord, and we've sung the beautiful worship songs that have drawn us into your presence, may you now, Father, reveal yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, as we hear your word, that you would teach us new truths, that you would learn and help us to learn of who you are and all that you do in our lives, that purpose that you give to each and every one of us. And so open our ears now, Lord, our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're starting a new year and a new series. I don't know about you, but whether we're at the end of the year, as we have been so recently, or if we're at the beginning or in the middle, wherever we are in life and the start of that year, life throws things at us. Things that can come out of the blue. Things that are hard to cope with. Excuse me. How often have any of you or myself over the years had to deal with difficult things? Maybe a difficult work situation. Maybe navigating the waters of marital conflict at times. Or the turbulent tides of raising children. They come with a lot of joy, but they come with a lot of challenges as well. Or the terrible loneliness of loss, of whatever that may be in life, but especially bereavement. I wonder if any of us have ever had to make really difficult financial decisions, or figure out good words for a bad situation. That can be harder than we think so often. Have any of us ever had to grapple with bullies through life? I have. And that is not easy. Or that person maybe that seems to be always on your horizon, who just doesn't seem to understand you or get you, and yet you can't escape that person in life. Have you ever had to wrestle with things like pride, greed, impatience, laziness, jealousy, either in your own life or someone else's, maybe? That's just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? Of the things that we go through in life, that life throws at us, that we have no option but to work through in one way or another. And if we've ever walked through any of those times, perhaps walking through them right now, to make decisions or just even to survive can seem so very hard. But we don't need to look any further than the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book about wisdom, a word that can be used in a variety of ways in the world we live in. But in this book, wisdom is instruction for daily life, especially in those circumstances where there's no clear rule or one-size-fits-all answer to the problems that we might have. And as we'll see throughout this series, Proverbs is called that because it contains hundreds and hundreds of short sayings, usually in phrases of two couplets together, that offer us wisdom about the challenges and the choices that we face in life. But we start today with the first seven verses of the book. And essentially, these first seven verses are that we may know wisdom. Wisdom was a subject when I was at college. I remembered when I looked at this passage that I really loved the Old Testament teachings of wisdom and its meaning, because we interpret it in a very human way, but there are very spiritual ways of understanding wisdom, and the book of Proverbs covers that for us. So I enjoyed getting to grips with this, as much as there's a lot to pull out of it all. So the whole of this passage, verses 1 to 7, is that we may know wisdom. And it starts off at the very beginning by saying, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Right away, we're grounded in time and space. This opening line actually confirms what the historical books of the Bible in the Old Testament have already been saying up to this point. For example, 1 Kings 4:29 to 32 says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite, wiser than Heman, Calcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. And moreover, if Solomon is in fact the author of Ecclesiastes, then we also learn this about him in chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes, 9 to 10. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. So as we learn from these passages, the ancient Near East was a place in which wise men were at work, both writing and collecting proverbs, and Solomon was no exception. But what is proverb, and why do they matter to us? right at the start of the book. The opening verses can help us in understanding. So go back to our passage in verses 2-3. They are given that we may gain wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behaviour, doing what is right and just and fair. There is a lot to take in just in these opening verses. Look at the related terms that were given here by the writer. Wisdom, instruction, insight. And if we scan down the verses, we see in verse 4, prudence, knowledge, discretion. In verse 5, guidance. And then in verse 7, knowledge, wisdom and instruction repeated, because we've already heard them. And one word runs through them all, and that is wisdom. And we're focusing on it because it's found more than often than anything else in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Some form of this word appears 118 times throughout Proverbs, and it's the dominant theme. And what's interesting about it is that this Hebrew word is actually rendered skill or skillful, like the skill of an artist or a craftsman. So one of the ways we can think about wisdom is in terms of moral skillfulness. For instance, like learning a trade, a way of being. It doesn't mean, though, that wisdom choices are always obviously moral ones. But even when they aren't, they often have a moral implication. So we think about, again, about these seven opening terms that we find here. Wisdom, instruction, insight, prudence, knowledge, discretion, guidance. Why do they matter? Because when we take them together, I think we can say that a proverb is a simple but insightful saying meant to train us in moral skillfulness. And it does that by providing practical knowledge about people, the world, and God, in order to help us navigate these choices and relational challenges that we have in life. And I don't know about you, but in the world in which we live, we need increasing wisdom in all our dealings, whether it's in church life or in our families, with those we meet in the world around us. And these sayings in this book of Proverbs are not just life hacks to make us more productive or efficient. The guidance is that we would learn wise dealing in righteousness, justice, and fairness. So I thought, well, it all sounds very grand, but does it really touch our lives that much? So I thought of a couple of examples. One of them being the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And the Ten Commandments make it clear of so many things that we are not to do, bold terms of what we cannot do or shouldn't do. And one of those is committing adultery. But it's wisdom that trains us in the moral skillfulness we need to avoid temptation that leads to adultery. I'll say that again because I stumbled over that. It's wisdom that trains us in the moral skillfulness we need to avoid temptation that leads us to adultery, to recognise the ugly truth about adultery and to focus on our partner instead. And in the same way, the commandments teach us, you shall not murder. But it's wisdom that trains us to navigate the difficult paths of anger, conflict, and violence, waters that can eventually lead to murder unless they are tamed. Whether that wisdom comes through parables of Jesus teach us such a lot, stories throughout the Bible, all these proverbs, nevertheless, it's all invaluable. And how we need it in the world around us whenever time we put news on or read of news. There are so many murders, unfaithfulnesses all around in our world. In verses 4 to 5 of this passage, we also find Solomon addressing wisdom. Who is the target audience for these words of wisdom? If they were a pack of letters mailed, who would they be sent to? And we see that in verses 4 and 5. These proverbs are given to give prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning receive guidance. Verse 4 clearly describes those who are simply unaware and inexperienced when it comes to discernment and discretion in daily life. And this can apply to the young and younger among us, those growing up in a life that throws challenges at them constantly. But verse 5 is clear as well. Even the wise, even the ones who can understand or discern, have something to gain from Proverbs. There's more to learn for the mature. And let's be honest, some of us might be mature in age, but we're not always wise. So there's guidance to be gained even for the seasoned in life, and especially for those that we cherish in our fellowship, in our lives, who are younger and inexperienced and need that wisdom. So Proverbs is for everyone. But then if we jump down to verse 7, we see how Solomon anchors wisdom for every one of us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I love that phrase. I think it's just so deep of how it teaches us about who God is. And it's one statement that is key to understanding the book of Proverbs. How can we understand it then? I think it means, and we're linked back to our last song here, that unless we are overwhelmed by God in a spirit of awe and reverence, we will never truly profit from the knowledge that leads to wisdom. Why? Because only the fear of God, and by that I mean a deep, holy reverence of and for God, provides us with the why of wisdom. By acknowledging the source of wisdom, which is God himself. Only the fear, that holy reverence of God, anchors our motives and humbles our hearts. And we'll know that if we can sort of think through now, very briefly as I'm talking, our lives, the times when we haven't been anchored in the source of wisdom, who is God, and we've made those wrong choices, we've gone down the wrong paths, we've had to turn around and face God again and say, I'm sorry, please accept me fully for who I am in you. Without that sense of holy reverence, we are simply man-fearing fools. I know that sounds hard, but it's here in our passage for us, as we see at the end of verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And underneath all this wisdom of Solomon that we've been looking at so far is the greater depth of the fact that there is one greater than Solomon. In light of everything we've looked at, let's listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 11, 31. The Queen of the South, that is the Queen of Sheba, will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here. If any of us, all of us, are blood-bought, grace-filled, born again, followers of Jesus Christ, then we serve one who is greater than Solomon, greater in every way, especially in wisdom. That doesn't negate any of the wisdom of Solomon or its teachings, but Jesus fulfills Solomon's wisdom, just as he is the fulfillment for all of us of who God has revealed and does reveal in Christ. So what does that mean for us as we look at these words of wisdom in Proverbs over the coming weeks? To illustrate a disciple's correct posture towards wisdom, we can listen to the Apostle Paul, how he weaves it through his book of Colossians. So I'm just going to sort of give us a snapshot of St. Paul. In Colossians 1:9, Paul prays that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And this is possible because in verse 13, in the kingdom of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Take that in this morning, that in Christ, which we are when we love him, we have all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. To be sure, there are teachers and philosophers in the world that have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion. We come across them all the time. People fall foul of them all the time. But ultimately, they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Unless we serve the one who is greater, as well as looking at these words of Solomon, we will never know what is of the greatest value in our lives. And this is why Paul encourages him the way he does in Colossians 3:16, which is a word for us as the church too. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. It's no use any of us trying to guide anyone else in the fellowship if we do it in our own strength or from human teaching. Unless we do it with the wisdom of God, we may as well not speak at all. And Paul wants his prayer to be answered, even beyond the community of Christ. In Colossians 4 verse 5, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. So, fellow disciples, this day, can we see why we so desperately need to be trained in moral skillfulness? Do we understand why the book of Proverbs is so important for followers of Jesus? Because to be trained in wisdom by these proverbs is to be trained in the imitation of Jesus himself. I don't suppose we think of it that way very often. Proverbs is a manual designed to help us become more like Jesus. And if we love Christ, that should be our supreme desire, to the glory of God. As Jesus said himself in Matthew 10:25, it is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher. If anyone isn't a follower of Christ here today, then you can know that the good life is the wise life, but also know that true life-giving wisdom only comes through Jesus. And we need to remember that need for foundational fear, holy reverence of God, so that we can be overshadowed by him, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, every moment of every day, no matter what we may face. So, I hope that helps us to make an amazing start towards 2026, and the different speakers that will bring the words of Proverbs to us over the weeks are teaching us, yes, the wisdom of Solomon, but more so the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Shall we pray? Father, as we are just introduced to this book, we know, Lord, that at the depth of it all is our desire to honour you, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who reigns supreme above a world that so often doesn't see you or recognise you. But you are there, Lord, over it all, in it all, in our lives. You were there in Solomon's life when he was guided to write down these proverbs. You are there through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom all things are fulfilled, and the true riches of life and the wisdom of Jesus himself is ready, waiting for us to take them on board, so that it helps our own lives to be grounded in your peace, your power, your compassion and your love for all of our lives and for those who we come into contact with. So, Father, as we begin this series, would you guide those who teach? Would you reign in your power throughout this fellowship, over this 6-week period, but also throughout 2026? Take us forward, Lord, in your strength, in your power, in the beautiful love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we might grow closer to you over this year, in amongst all the challenges of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.